Blog Talk Radio. With Merle, and I'm your host, Merle Exit. And I'm here in, we're getting lots of rain. Rainy New York City. Although I have a feeling they would probably prefer that right now in Santa Barbara, California. Sorry to hear about that. Boy, you guys keep getting hit with those fires, man. And, so it's a nice, dreary day. It's been raining. I think it finally stopped, but I think it's going to rain tomorrow. But it's okay. 7 p.m. on my time here in the Big Apple. And this show, if everybody calls in, communication, something else, huh? I'll call you back. Okay. Leave me the number. I'll call you back. Yeah. Okay. Anyway. Well, tonight's show, let's see. Do you want to write and publish a book? Well, there's a company, the Independent Book Publishers Association, going to be presenting a publishing university at the end of this month in New York City. We're going to have Teresa Fogarty telling us what you can learn, what this is all about. And later on, yeah, Mrs. Butterwork Pants Cake Syrup, you know. Well, it seems like that they're going to be doing a contest about what is Mrs. Butterworth's first name, okay? What can you do? It's a contest. I forgot what you win, but hopefully Franny Lieberman will call in and tell us about that as well. In the meantime here, I have to... Okay, I had one. Yes, I did. I broke it. I had one. Well, so... Yeah, you know which commercial that I have to put on. What would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies. And that's no fairy tale. Yes, and for that you go to brownies.com. I thought I had uploaded another commercial, and so far I don't see it, but okay. I'm going to be doing some music for this half an hour because of somebody canceling. But I have a couple of items to talk about. TV, they were talking about Property Room. Go to propertyroom.com. It's police departments, and they're having auctions. They sell all kinds of items that have been stolen, you know, stuff like that, and they're coming out of different areas. Could be New York, could be Los Angeles. I went on to check it out. The most amusing, I must say, had rifle bags. I mean, somehow, I don't think they should be doing auctioning rifle bags. You know what I mean? But, you know, what can you do? And then, okay, so I also want to talk to you about a couple of scams that are going around, you know, sweepstakes stuff. But first, it's music time here. Right.
It's amazing how you can speak right to my heart. Without saying a word, you can light up the dark. Try as I may, I can never explain what I hear when you don't say a thing. The smile. Of your hand says you'll catch me wherever I fall. You say it best when you say nothing at all.
Oh,
was from the movie Notting Hill, as opposed to Notting Hill. Well, I was trying to get my Celnik commercial to come up, and I guess it didn't upload. I'll have to try it, I guess, for next week to see. Maybe it wasn't done correctly. So, scams, yes. The latest one was from this Caribbean Cruise Line Records Division that said, free Bahamas cruise for two enclosed, no strings attached. Yeah, right. Well, what I was looking at, and I'm still trying to get a return answer from Ramada. There are strings attached. Of course, the strings attached because they want you to make sure you put the deposit down. You know, and according to this, they want you to look at timeshare. But the thing with Ramada is it's supposed to be a Ramada timeshare. And when I called Ramada, they didn't know what I was talking about. And I said they should take care of it or look into it and get back to me. And that's the operative words, and get back to me, which they haven't. So just in case, you get this thing, there's nothing, no freebies, no things like this. But now, the other one is the you've won $1 million or $250,000. I'm getting this, that I've won all this money, and what they want me to do, of course. I won the money, and in order for me to get the money, because there's something having to do with the release of the money, I have to send a check for a certain amount. It could be $200-$300, whatever, to someplace. Okay, so, if this happens, I will let you know what this is all about. Now, they've tried this more than once, because each time I try to get as much information as I can, phone number to call back on. Of course, I get all these phone numbers, and someone's in Las Vegas, or someone is in Florida, and things like that, and they'll give me address. They'll give me all kinds of stuff. Well, they're not in Vegas. They're not in Florida. What they have is they have cell phones operating out of Jamaica, and I don't mean Jamaica, Queens. They're operating out of Jamaica, and there's some things that you should look at. First of all, I asked the guy, I'll say, where are you? He'll say, in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Then I look at my caller ID and it says Jamaica. Of course, you don't ever call back because, the charge is, enormous. So you don't want to call them. Everybody's trying to go after these people and it's not helping. The last time I confronted the guy, I said to the guy, I said, and you want me to send you money, don't you? And he's still trying to talk to me. I said, and you want me to send you money? And his answer said, fuck you, and hung up. Okay. But this, I had one guy calling me, and he says, he's in the States. He's in my state, and so, because they'll all say they want to come to your house, bring you the money. They want to bring the cameras. They want to put you on TV and film this whole thing. Yeah, right. Okay. So the guy is going to come to my house and saying he's in my state. And I said, so, really, what state are you in? I'm doing very well. He's in Jamaica. He said, NY. I go, NY. I says, well, what state is that? And why? And then all of a sudden you hear him try to talk to somebody to figure out what NY is, you know. I said, just turn and ask somebody where you are. And he turns, he's asking, I guess, somebody at the office who's just as stupid, and says, Atlantic. He says, that's what he says to me. You know, so I don't want to even tell you what I said to him on the telephone, you know. But the key that started me with this whole thing, with the people who were calling me and saying, you know, trying to talk me into, they're really nasty. They're really like, well, they're trying not to take no for an answer. But they keep, there would seem to be this pattern that everybody who was supposedly in either Las Vegas or Florida or whatever, their lawyer, they're everybody. Everybody seemed to have the same accent, which was not from the United States, you know. So if you come across it, now the key to any of these things, there's usually some phone number, especially if you get something in the mail or if you get, you know, some phone numbers or whatever. Go online and Google the phone number, and you'll see the, you know, things that come up, and you can kind of, you know, report it, and you report it and you comment to other people as to, you know, what happened with you. I mean, now I'm just going to dreaming up, like, nasty things, you know. Then I got this, the other one. This is your last time one. I love, this is the last time, the final, this is the last. And I keep saying to myself, if it is, I'm not responding, then why don't they just stop if it's the last time? And it has to do about credit or something, or credit, getting a good credit rate, you know, whatever. I just, like, what I do is I press one and wait for somebody to come on, and there's some poor soul who's, you know, takes the job for $2.25 an hour, figuring that they'll get whatever money from me, or I don't know whether there's a fee. I haven't even decided, whatever. I just wait for them to come on, and I just basically say, as soon as they say who they are, I just say, shove it up your ass and hang up. You know, I'm beginning to get really nasty on the phone. But the worst one, I'm sorry, I just can't help with this one, too. The worst one. They call me up, and now, I'm sure you probably figured out that Merle Exit is not my real name. You know, it's, as I said, I changed my name to Exit so I could see my name up at lights. And so when anybody calls and they say, can I speak to Mr. or Mrs. and what my real last name is, I know that it's going to be like, you know, if somebody said, is this Merle and my last name, it's different from if somebody says, can I speak to Mr. or Mrs., you know, the last name. And so what goes into my head is, well, let's see. I'm certainly not Mr., and I'm not married, so I'm not Mrs., so apparently they must be talking about my parents, and they're dead. And that's exactly what I say. Oh, they're dead. And then I pause slightly and go, and I'm still in mourning. And it really makes them feel bad. Well, I know it's not, you know, it's some kind of a thing, you know, to, well, you know, I'm sure all you guys get all this crap on the telephone. It's bad enough with the emails. And please don't ever try the things that say, you won, you know, we're giving you a this, but you have to, you know, do a couple of things with our advertisers, or kind of thing, whatever. Don't do that either. Please, please don't get caught with that. But, okay. Well, I did my Broadway again. Yes, I was over on Broadway, and I saw the 39 Steps. Now, this was a movie. It's a Hitchcock movie, and to tell you the truth, I've never seen that one, which it surprised me. I thought I've seen like every Hitchcock movie, and I haven't seen that, so I'll have to see it now. And I don't know whether it's the same as the play or a takeoff on the movie itself. But this thing is hilarious, absolutely hilarious. And so, because, first of all, you have four members of the cast, and they're playing, like, all different parts. They're changing clothes and everything. I mean, it's such a hoot. It's hysterical. As they keep changing to different characters and costumes and stuff, like, really, really quick. That in itself is hysterical. And, of course, then they're moving around the set. They're, like, doing everything. It is total riot. And they make references to every Hitchcock movie. So it is something, they'll see something that's visual, or they make a reference. And even if you've never seen a Hitchcock movie, it's really funny. The plot itself, this guy is tired of whatever he's doing in life. I'm still tired since yesterday, I'm sorry. He's tired of what he's doing in life, and he decides he wants to do something else, and he wants to do something totally, totally boring and not thinking about anything, and says, I know, I'll go to the theater. But so he does, and it things, you know, come out from doing that, and it winds up being all Hitchcocky type of plots and stuff like that. But it's really, I gotta say, it's one to be seen. And one of the best things about the show is that regarding the sets, I mean, there are no big sets. I mean, they're throwing around the kind of sets are very, very, very plain, you know, just things that are coming in, a piece of furniture and stuff like that. Nothing elaborate. It goes back to really, really old theater, old, almost vaudeville-ish, almost, but not quite. And so if you're in New York, and I don't know whether this is going to go on the road. If it goes on the road, go see it. But that's definitely, that is an absolute hoot. Afterwards, I went to McCormick and Schmick's restaurant. I don't want to go into that now because I'm going to have the chef. Hopefully, he'll be on my radio show next week to talk about McCormick and Schmick's, which is a seafood restaurant. But we want to talk about seafood, you know, and how fresh it is. How can you tell the freshness? How do they do it? One of the big things about McCormick and Schmick's is that every menu, every lunch or dinner menu features the fresh fish that they're using, and their menu actually has a list of, like, the names of the fish and where it's from. So that was that's, like, pretty cool. I gotta say, what wasn't so cool, I'm gonna try it and see if I could tally this. I mean, on the menu, on the menu items, they tell you the calories. Oh, no. God, I really went over my caloric thing for, I think I had a month's worth of calories. I'm not sure. But anyway, as I said, I'll get to that next week. So on Broadway, I'm not sure if I got to speak about this, but I had seen 9 to 5. That's another, it's a great, great, great musical to see. That's, I highly recommend it. Big, fun musical, very, I guess I would want to kind of say like old Broadway, if you want to call it. And so I appreciate that. So before I get into my first guest, I want to play the one of the songs from the show, 9 to 5. Dolly Parton, but that's not who sings it in the show 9 to 5. Now we're going to talk about getting your book published. Hi. Well, Teresa, I got you on the air now?
Yes, I'm here.
Hello. How are you? How you doing?
Good, good. How are you?
Oh, just fine. All right. Learn me. Go ahead.
Okay, so you want to hear about the Independent Book Publishers Association?
Yes, tell me all about that.
Okay, well, we're located in Manhattan Beach, California, and we've been in business for 25 years. This is our 26th year. We provide all kinds of benefits and opportunities for the independent publisher to grow their business and become educated about publishing in general, and as things are changing, so are we. This year, our publishing university is being held in New York City just prior to the Book Expo America, and that starts on May 26th through the 28th. And we hand out our Benjamin Franklin Awards the evening of the 28th on Thursday night. And then we head off to the Book Expo on Friday morning.
Now, let me ask, what is the Benjamin Franklin Award?
This is a book award that we've been giving out for 21 years, and it includes about 52 different categories, and it's judged by industry professionals, and it's a pretty highly regarded award among them all.
And is it like some of the, in other words, they're reading all these books and then deciding on which book they like the best? Is that the kind of thing? Or?
Well, we divide it up by genre and give each genre to three different reviewers and judges, and then they send us back their comments, and, you know, they're categorized by number, all their comments, and then we just add up the numbers and see who wins.
Most of these books, the books are basically self-published? Is that what they are?
No, they're mostly published by independent publishers. So some publishers only publish their own books. Some publishers publish up to 100 books a year, depending, written by any number of authors. So it's a wide variety, and there are some self-published authors in the mix, definitely.
Ah, okay. Mm-hmm. And then you said, and then there's a, it said there's a book sale. Is that what you said the next day? A book?
At the Book Expo?
Oh, the Book Expo, is that what it is?
Right. It's the largest industry trade show in the United States. You know, there have been up to 40, 50,000 people that attend this trade show, and it's at the Jacob Javits Center, and they have a lot of education going on there and show events on the floor. Also, a lot of book buyers are there. The media attends, and it's a pretty big deal.
So it's kind of like to see what the trend is in the latest books. Is that what they look at, or is it really there for so people can buy their books?
Well, it's a networking event for the industry. It's also a time for every publisher to show their new line of products and their new titles. It's changing a bit where, you know, a lot of people now have their catalogs online. A lot of the buying can go on ahead of time, but it used to be where they'd come and just put all their orders in for the bookstores. Now, you know, as things are changing, so is what's going on at the trade show, but it's still a great event for everyone in the industry to meet and get to see what's going on in publishing.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, well, I don't know, fortunately or unfortunately, I think, so that the thing is on the 20th, is that on the 28th itself or the 29th?
That starts on the 29th and goes through the 31st of May. So it's the weekend. It's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to be off to Hartford, Connecticut, otherwise, but I'll be able to come to the main event itself, which will be interesting because we'll do a, if not a, we'll either do a broadcast there, or as soon as I get back from it, we'll do a broadcast to say what went on. How's that?
Yeah, that sounds great. And, you know, we're expecting you at the university, and you'll get to meet a lot of the people that are in the industry and learn some things that are going on.
So what type, what courses? Like what, this is like 2 days of courses, right?
Right. Well, there's two full days. The first day is about a half day, and it's, you know, we have a keynote speaker, and we have all free classes for the attendees to learn about what's going on and how to best utilize the university, and also a little bit about BEA, how to, you know, get the most done at the Book Expo. So, you know, so like some of the classes that we have some tracks. We have one for the first-time attendee, which would be kind of a new publisher, and just to kind of indoctrinate them into the beginnings of publishing. And then we have an advanced track as well for people who have really been in business for a long time. They know what they're doing. They want to, you know, go to the next level. And so we have tracks in publicity, sales and marketing, editorial and printing, and Web 2.0, and that's an ever-changing subject, like we all know. So those are some of the things that we have. We have over 50 classes, and there's about 100 different speakers there. Sarah Nelson from Publishers Weekly is going to be doing a keynote. We also have Google there talking about all the books that are fit to print and how your books fit into the online book world. And let's see, Mark Coker from Smashwords will be speaking. We have someone from Lexcycle, Sony, and Read How You Want. So a lot of these people that are speaking there are industry well-known people and professionals in their field. So it's a great time to come and hear right from them exactly how things are going.
Well, would this be more recommended for, let's say, if I'm about to write a book, or more for the person who is in the publishing business themselves and has clients that who've written books?
Well, it's good for both categories. It's probably really good for someone who hasn't already started their publishing business, because they can save a lot of money just by coming to this and eliminating some costly mistakes. It's not, focused on the writer as much, but if that writer is planning on publishing their own book, it's a good place for them to learn how to do that.
Okay, so in other words, because a lot of people do that these days.
Right.
So they can, in other words, learn how to, is there going to be teaching of, like, not of how to write the book or anything in regards to writing the book itself?
There's not going to really be any classes on how to write a book, but how to produce the best quality product so that it fits in the distribution world and in the bookstores, and it has all the aspects of a good seller.
Okay. So, then, in other words, let's say somebody who has a book and says, okay, here's the book, and now I need to market it. Like personally, let's say I want to market my book, as opposed to I'm going to turn around and give it to a marketing company or publisher, et cetera, to do it for me.
Well, some of these classes teach you how to find the right people to help you as well. Most people can't do everything on their own because it's just overwhelming. And at the same time, if they're the writer as well, then they want to be writing. And a lot of people can't think in all those directions. So we do have classes that teach you how and who to connect with to get everything done for your books and for your company.
Now, considering there's so many people, like everybody, can basically write a book if they so choose to these days. How, and in terms of like marketing, now as a journalist, I'm constantly getting emails from publishers, sometimes it could be Simon & Schuster, but then it could be small publishing companies. And they'll pitch the book, and they'll say, ask me if I want an interview or I want to get a copy of the book to review. So I get these things, like, a lot of times. And what I kind of wonder is, like, when these people are choosing of what to send me, what's it based upon? Is it based upon, let's say, me as a writer and how much I give that publishing company to do the work?
No, most publishers have a budget for each book that they take on. You know, when they acquire the book, they'll create a budget for it to market it.
Right.
And then they make the plan and they decide where it's going to fit the best. You know, who is their target market?
Right.
What audience do they want to reach? So that would be who they would call for the media attention. And then, once that money runs out and that little marketing plan has been completed, then usually the author is off on their own. So that's where we can come in to help them continue marketing cooperatively with other independent publishers.
That sounds pretty good. But now, let's say, there are publishers, and I'm trying to think of, like, and I guess I would call them like independent publishers versus a big company. Like with a big company, I would imagine a big, like let's just say I have a book and I pitch the book to Simon & Schuster and they say, yes, we like it, we want to publish it, versus I pitch it to a small company, I can't think of any offhand that, you know, that I get from. And basically, they don't have the budget, or they have a small budget, or, in other words, they're not going to pay me for the book. You understand what I'm saying?
Right. They're not going to give you an advance, and they're just
right.
going to help you get it. Well, there are a lot of companies out there right now that are helping people publish for a fee. So they just do the service for you,
mm-hmm.
and each thing has a fee attached to it, but then you're kind of left out there on your own to do the marketing and publicity.
Right.
Anyway, so you really are your own publisher, but you haven't, you don't have your name on the book. Like if it was coming from iUniverse or Atlas Books or whoever is doing that work for you. Lulu is another one. You know, they'll do all these things for you for a fee, but they're not going to take you on as their own because they aren't getting the royalties or anything for it. You know what I mean? So it's your book. And as well, if someone were to get their book published by a big publisher, they're still only going to take it so far. So you really have to be your own best promoter.
Okay, so you still should know all this anyway.
Yeah, if you're a writer and you unless you're, you know, selling 100,000 copies and you got a publisher who it just keeps telling you to send them in, you know, you're going to need some help.
Okay, I'm going to be doing all of this with a sense of humor. Because that's me, the whole thing, because,
We have some funny stories. I guess I could look for a few and send them to you.
By all means.
Yeah.
I was working through Lulu.com, and I looked at this thing. I said, you know, I'm writing a book about humor, and I really want to make it, I want it to be funny. I want people to pick up the book just to read the book, just to enjoy themselves reading the book. So I said, you know what? Let's see. When people are looking at a book, what's the first thing they do? They look at the front, right? They look at the front.
Yeah,
they
sell by the cover.
Right. I had it designed. I had someone design it for me. And on the back, what do they always look on the back? They look for the critiques, right?
Right.
So I wrote my own. I wrote takeoffs on critiques. So when I wanted people to be very clear, it's a book that's humorous. So on the back, I have funny critiques or critiques that are takeoffs on people that write critiques, with funny names or things like that, including I had my cat write a critique as well. But this is because it's like all humor. You know, and this is what I wanted people to get, that this book is funny. Don't expect anything serious. I also wrote down in the introduction. I said I wrote this. All my friends said to me, "Well, who's going to edit the book?" I said, "Well, I guess I am. Because with all the articles that I write, basically I'm editing my articles before they go out. So I said, okay, I'll edit the book. But just to make sure, in the introduction I wrote down, this is not a puzzle. You don't get points if you find any mistakes. So I just did that too. Again, it's all just for humor. But this is just me, you know, with my sense of humor. But I'm looking to do. I really want people, you know, because I keep seeing people talk about saying they want to publish their book. Now, for me personally, everybody was always saying to me, you know, with your life, you need to write a book about it. No one's going to believe it. And this one day I said, okay, the hell with it. I'll write a book. So I did that. But the people, are terribly serious, and they want to write and publish a book. And I would like to give these people, we want to talk about, I want to give these people information on, you know, what's really, what's involved. You know, it, I've seen, like, you know, like when I get emails of people that are having book signings. Well, how do you set that up? How do you set up a book signing? You know, things like that for people as to what's in it when you want to publish a book. And the other thing, which is, I guess, the thing you need to look at is, are you publishing a book because you want to make money, or you're publishing a book because you want to share, or you have something to say, you know?
Right,
what I'm saying?
And if, even if all you're doing it for is just to have something to say because you feel it's very important, if you're not selling it and no one's reading it, then, I mean, you did it for yourself.
Right.
But, you know, you really want, if you really want people to read it, you should know what you're doing so that you can get the word out.
Sure, sure. Mm-hmm. So you said you have you have any funny stories offhand that you could tell me about?
Well, you know, we have a lot of publishers who write memoirs about their family and things like that, you know, and they're great for the family, but, you know, they're not going to land in the bookstore at Barnes & Noble because you're not really anybody in particular, and nobody really cares because everyone's got a story. Everyone who's
sure.
alive has a
mm-hmm.
story, so... You know, there's just some, you know, funny stories about some of these people who think that they've got, you know, the next, you know, $100 million sales going on because it's their story. You know, I don't really have any particular things, but we do run across some pretty interesting books from people, you know, about their animals, or one even had their animal write the book. So, you know, it was written by the cat. And that was kind of funny.
Yeah, that could be cute. That you know, yeah. It also depends. It's also has to do. There's a lot to do with the marketing itself that I see, because it's like with anything. You know, you can have somebody can have something. Let's just say, and this is how I kind of look at it. Let's just say, and I'm just going to say something that looks like an ashtray. Let's say something that looks like an ashtray. And I turn around and I say, this is so great. Look at this. Look how nice it is. I'll tell you what. I usually sell it for $2,500. Of course, they haven't figured out why it's worth $2,500 because only, of course, I'm saying so and it's an art piece, or I can whatever I want to say. But I'm going to give it to you for $1,500. And so they buy it for the $1,500. They have it in their house, and it's now the conversation piece. And somebody says, oh, what's that? And they say, it's a whatever kind of ashtray. And, oh, that's really nice. I say, and guess what? I got it at a bargain. I only got it for $1,500. And now they feel better about themselves because they got it for less. And then they can turn around and say, you know what? I know the person who invented it. And maybe I can get it for you for that price. So what happens is when you have some kind of a product, the more you can convince people that it's worth it, or the more you can give it the publicity, the better it could sell.
Right, and that is true to some extent. But in publishing, if your book isn't edited right or formatted correctly,
well,
the design isn't right, and it just looks like something someone ran off, you know, in the basement – most people won't buy a book like that. So you really, really should have all your ducks in a row when you're publish a book.
Yes. Well, that is the definite thing. Well, that's the, in terms of the, when I say the art itself, as I say the person who's got this whatever item, but the
right.
item still has to look good.
Yeah.
And
it still has to be good. You know, like Robert Kiyosaki, I think. You know, he probably was working on getting that book out into the market for 5 or 10 years or something like that before
really?
It really hit big. And now he's sold millions. He has a whole line of books. And, you know, The Shack recently, this guy wrote it. He printed, like, I don't know, 30 of them out of his garage, gave them to his friends, and they all started talking about it. And before you know it, he's got millions of books sold as well. So there are some really great stories like that. Because even if you don't have it done right, but it's a good product, another company will help you and pick it up and, you know, then do some really big marketing and publicity for you.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, I would I would definitely encourage. Now, how does one go about registering for this?
Well, okay, you can just go on our website at www.ibpa-online.org, and our Publishing University brochure is right on the front page. Just click on that. It'll give you all the programming. It'll give you the description of all the classes, how to register. We have our early bird special running now through May 10th, so you can save $100. We are also offering an opportunity to share a room at the Roosevelt Hotel, if that's going to help you get there. So we're also having a national membership outreach this year, and so we have some specials going on, and that's also on our website. So
yeah, when you say national membership, what the membership is to?
To join the organization,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, then you can take part in our marketing programs and, you know, join us at the trade show with your books and, you know, feel free to call us if you have questions about anything or if you have a problem. We advocate for the independent publisher here. So we have a pretty loud voice in the industry because we have so many members. We have over 3,500 members, and we've been around for, you know, we're the largest organization in the country for the independent publisher.
Well, I'm looking forward to this because I'm looking to see, like, kind of like, okay, and what would happen if, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, like, I'm basically I said, oh, okay, I have an opportunity to do a book signing. So, I did a book signing, but I haven't really, you know, done a whole big thing. And I want to do it to actively just to do it, because my whole thing is experiential. I write about the things I experience, and so now I'm going, okay, so now I'm doing writing a book, and now now I want to write about what happens when you write a book and to encourage people to write as well.
Well, what I encourage them to do the most, and from what I've learned over the last 10 or 12 years about it, is that you're better off to find out what you're doing first, because
mm-hmm.
it's an expensive venture.
Oh, sure,
and it's
yeah.
emotional as well, because you have something to say and you want to make sure that you do the best job that you can in the beginning and
right.
not waste your time or your money and then just feel all depressed and sad about the fact that it didn't go right. And it can go right if you educate yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is great, and as I said, we're gonna, I'll go through this. So we'll, I just, picking out seminars, just basing on looking at the names of the seminars.
Right, and if you have any questions, or if anyone else has any questions,
sure.
you can just call us, and we'll go through it with them.
Okay, and the phone number they're calling is
310-372. 2732.
Okay, that's fabulous.
That's Pacific time.
Pacific
time.
Versus specific.
Yeah, versus specific. Right.
Okay. All right, great, Teresa. I'm glad that you were able to call and we can get this started, and hopefully we'll get some people to come to this event, and of course I'll write about it as well. Because there's always, as I do, try to do multimedia. So.
Yeah, well, it sounds great, Merle. And, you know, then they can meet you because you're going to be there too.
Yeah, this is true. They get to meet
the woman behind the phone.
You know what I even did? I got to tell you what I did. Because when I did the book signing at the New York Sharks women's tackle football game, which...
Mm-hmm.
which is one of the things that I do when I do their PR. And I said, well, so we had to put in an ad, and I told the person who's putting in an ad, I said, oh, here's what we got to do. We got to put a whole thing that says over 10 million books sold, but put an X across the word million.
Yeah. That would be funny.
So that's what we did. But again, it's me and humor. So, but I know, but I'm that's just me, you know. But people are they serious about what they do? By all means, this is a great idea.
That's right, so. And you know, we try to keep it fun at the same time. So,
well,
they'll find something.
Yeah, I might keep you guys laughing. Just be aware of that.
All right. We'll be
okay.
Looking forward to it.
Okay, Teresa. I'll see you in a couple of weeks then.
All right. Thanks, Merle. Talk to you
later.
You're
welcome. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. So, yes, so just in case, it's the Publishing University, IBPA, IB as in Independent Book Publishers Association. So I will attend this and let everybody know what it is that I learned. In the meantime, my book, Whirl with Merle, It's a Humorous Life, is available on either lulu.com or amazon.com. And you can, actually, you can preview the book. I have it set up that you preview pages in the book as well. And that's one of the things, you know, that we'll talk about. Is it how important is it to preview? We'll talk about like ebooks. You know, can you do this? Do you lose out? Do you gain money? Et cetera, et cetera. Me personally, I couldn't do an ebook. When I go to Broadway show and I ask for the script and they say, well, we'll send you the email version of it, and I go, oh, no, please, because, you know, like, here I am on page, you know, 62, and I go, wait, what happened at that point, and, you know, so now I got to, like, scroll all the way through instead of just, you know, turning a page, so, but that's me, that's just me, I don't want to keep staring at the computer, so, well, as we wait for, with a little luck, if we get the Mrs. Butterworth person to calling in, but in the meantime, let's see, because I happen to, it's because I like this particular song. Where is my, okay, yep. Okay, Barbara, I got your message, yes. And let's see, where is the one? That's the song. I just happen to like that song. That's so tough shit. You gotta listen, you know.
She may be the I can't forget a trace of pleasure or regret. Maybe my treasure or the price I have to pay. She may be the song the summer sings, maybe the chill the autumn brings, maybe 100 different things within the measure of a day. She may be the beauty or the beast, maybe the famine or the feast, may turn each day into a heaven or a hell. She may be the mirror of my dreams, a smile reflected in a stream. She may not be what she may seem inside a shell.
seems so happy and proud. Whose eyes can be so bright and so proud. No one's allowed to see them when they cry. She may be the love that cannot hope to last. May come indeed from shadows of the past that I remember till the day I die. She may be the reason I survive. The why and wherefore I'm alive. The what I'll care for through the rough and ready years. Me, I'll take her laughter and her tears and make them all my souvenirs. Where she goes, I've got to be. The meaning of my life is she.
I don't know what's happening, but I'll tell you what this is about anyway. I got the email. It says it's really very simple. We're looking for the world to guess the first name of America's biggest syrup celebrity, Mrs. Butterworth. Releases below. They have a link here, and it says Mrs. Butterworth has become quite the pop cultural icon. Her Nirvana song, Kanye West song, New York Times crossword puzzles, episodes of Friends, Samantha Who, and of course the infamous Geico commercial, etc. We know that people want to know what her name is. They ask all of the time. Now, if you guess right, we're giving away $500. Some good, easy to swallow news in a world of uncertainty. So, what's your name? We're hoping that one winner will have the correct guess with the best reasoning. A press release is below, and folks have until July 17th to submit their guess. Let's see. Let's see what you wear. Okay, you win $500 cash and a year's supply of syrup. that's all that sugar soaking in there. Oh, goodness gracious. The contest, you have to go to, it says, Mrs. Butterworth MrsButterworthSyrup.com/name contest, and you submit your guess, along with an explanation of 100 words or less as to why you think your first name guess is correct. Of course, like, what I was trying to find out is, like, do they even supposedly know what her first name is? And, you know, how would somebody know? Is this something like, you know, trivia that people do know? If anybody knows, by the way, get in touch with me. I'm just like, I just want to know, you know. If she does have a first name, I said, well, you know, why is this submitting to the contest, writing the 100 words, because they want to see, like, for whatever reason, you think that that's her name. But then if that's, you know what I'm saying, if you think that's her name and that's not her name, the question is that really her name, you know, now, one of the things it said that I noticed is they have the original flavor, the sugar-free or light. I mean, I'm trying to figure what it's sugar-free pancake syrup. I mean, it's like sugar-free. Am I the only one who finds that amusing? Have sugar-free. I mean, here it says it delivers on the thick, rich, and buttery syrup. I mean, why don't you just, like, pour? butter and sugar on your pancake, because you like it wet. It's the wetness, I guess. Pour a little water over it, you know, whatever. I mean, I'm not sure, like, the point of the you know what I'm saying? Point of sugar-free, then just don't use it. But, okie dokes. So, but then they brought to you by, it says Pinnacle Foods Group. I looked at what they include, of leading brands including, and it says Log Cabin Syrup, and it also has, Aunt Jemima. Oh, Aunt Jemima Frozen Breakfast. I don't know if they do Aunt Jemima syrups. I mean, but if they already have, like, Log Cabin, I guess what they did is they took, like, I suppose, the Log Cabin. I'm curious to see what in terms of contents, what the difference actually is. I mean, if it's buttery, then I don't think there's butter. God, I'm sorry. I gave up the Nutrisystem stuff because of all the additives and preservatives in it. So I'm finding this quite humorous. I wish I had that Selny commercial to tell you at the right now, but I don't. Otherwise, you'd understand. But I've been on my 21-day, I think it was, yeah, my challenge of having my Selnik drink each day. And I'm flowing with energy. That's definitely flowing with energy. And I'm feeling quite healthy. Trying to get me to go to sleep is the problem. The reason, because I have so much energy to do things that, like, oh, let me do this now and this now. And I have to, like, tell myself that it's such and such time and there's nothing I can do about it. I can't call someone at 2 o'clock in the morning if they only work from 9 to 5, you know, that type of thing. Or even if they don't work 9 to 5, that's, could email, you know, but then people obviously don't get back to you. No one gets back to me. Well, hell with it. I'm ending early. I'm just going to end a bit early here. And I don't know what I'm doing next week. I have no idea. I'll let you know as soon as I know. I'll post it. I'll blog it. Go to my blog site, Whirl with Merle. No, is it Merle's World Blogspot? Wait, let me take a look what it's called. It's called, that's Merle's World.blogspot.com. Yeah, take a look at that because I have some photos from when I went to the View restaurant. I'm gonna get that chef on my radio show. I get everybody on my radio show if they do decide to call in. If they decide to call in. So, well, all right. So, time to end it. And well, I can't give my former ending, so I'll give my intro ending. And tune in next week when you'll see what the hell I got. Have a good day, evening, or whatever it is around your time.